This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, a conversation with NPR Senior Supervising Editor William Dobson on the learning curve for dictators. First, the Cincinnati Police Department's new District 3 Police Headquarters was dedicated in 2015. It's the first net-zero energy police station in the United States and carries a Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design Platinum certification. Cincinnati is home to several facilities with LEED certification, and our area has made significant progress in adopting green architecture and sustainable energy planning and construction practices. Joining us to discuss green architecture and LEED certified facilities are Pedco E&A Services Senior Mechanical Engineer Pete Rashi and Chad Edwards, Principal with Immersion Design. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Pete and Chad, good afternoon. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Pete, start off by explaining to us what LEED is.
Well, LEED is a rating system that was created by the USGBC, U.S. Green Building Council. The rating system was started around 2000, the year 2000. And basically, it sets forth a bunch of guidelines and goals to meet for buildings, new buildings, renovations, core and shell, where you would have a tenant infill, the actual tenant infill itself, schools, other types of buildings, for them to basically show that they're being sustainable and save energy, save money, and, you know, just be good to the earth, basically.
Yeah. So in the beginning, the U.S. Green Building Council recognized that a lot of people were calling their buildings green, but
they weren't really green.
They weren't really performing, Okay. Yes. So it could be you just put down some bamboo flooring and you call yourself green, but you could be the worst energy hog on the block. So they recognized that there was a need for everybody speaking the same language, hitting the same metrics, and they created LEED, which stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. And that first word, leadership, is pretty key because it looks at the top 25% of the building products out there, right? The top 25% of building performance, and tries to hit that as the goal.
So, Chad, how does a building become LEED certified? What's the whole process for accomplishing that?
Sure. So, most buildings should start at the very beginning, although I think Pete and I have worked on projects where they kind of get shoehorned later on, and that's certainly more difficult and more expensive. But if you can begin from the beginning and map out a strategy and look at the design of the project in an integrative way, meaning that all the folks involved are at the table. You have the client, the user, the engineers, the architects, the contractors if possible. And you start to map out the strategies that the owner and the users want and need and aspire to. And then you can begin to map out strategies of how to apply LEED. LEED is broken into five major categories. And then once you start to meet those goals, then you acquire credits that translate into points. And then you can get certain levels.
Yeah, that's true. I think the District 3 Police Headquarters is a platinum level.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so what are the various different levels, Pete?
Well, starting off certification, you require 40 points in the point levels. And along with these different categories, there are also prerequisites which have to be met. So in each of the various categories, sustainable sites, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, indoor environmental air quality, there are prerequisites you have to meet, and if you don't meet them, you're not going to get LEED at all. Once you meet those prerequisites, and there's generally one or two per category, then you start to accumulate points for various credits, depending on the things you are doing. 40 points gets you a certification, 50 points gets you a silver rating, 60 points gets you a gold rating, and 80 points gets you platinum. Now, that's out of a total potential of 110 maximum, although generally you can't get all 110 because generally you'll end up sacrificing some to take others. Some of the things sort of have some overlaps. And then there are also, within those, there are regional priority credits, for example, where in the area your building is located, It has been determined that it's more important for you to go after this and that and this because those are kind of priorities in your region where they are, where you're located. So you kind of, you get a double point there, so to speak, if you hit those particular credits.
Right. So the rating systems are weighted to positively affect the environmental hazards of that particular region. And they're mapped out per zip code. So myself and others were involved in understanding which of the top six environmental hazards across our state, zip code by zip code. So for instance, in our area, most folks know that stormwater is a pretty significant issue. So you get an extra bonus point if you tackle the stormwater quantity credit, trying to reduce the amount of stormwater on site. Another one in our area is the effect that we're having on Rumpke, right? It's a pretty significant landfill, and there are some things that don't need to go in there, recycling, construction waste that can be recycled. So if you can tackle that credit and succeed, then you get a bonus point because we're trying to lessen the impact on Rumpke's landfill.
Mm-hmm. Chad, how many options are available for designers and builders? Proven designs, building materials, construction practices that are already set so that everyone's not starting from scratch when they're trying to create a LEED facility?
LEED's pretty flexible in that the design is up to the design team. The materials are not necessarily... the materials themselves are not necessarily certified, although they recognize other third-party organizations that do. So some materials are cradle-to-cradle certified. There's various Green Garden or Green Carpet Plus, different initiatives that look at the building products, making sure that they are sustainable. Either they have a high recycled content or they don't have toxins in their manufacturing. And so LEED recognizes these other entities are skilled at vetting those materials. And, you know, you can begin to acquire points that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Well, are new materials and methods being developed and are cost decreasing as a result of all these new materials and methods?
When I first started getting engaged in this in 2001, 2002, it was really difficult to find even paints with low VOCs. Now you go to Lowe's and it's just off the shelf and it's the same cost. And you really, I mean, not that you would want to, but you would struggle to try to find a paint that has high VOC content. And that's really the power of LEED, and what USGBC really wanted LEED to do was to change the marketplace. So we're seeing a lot more products that have high recycled content. We're seeing a lot more products that are manufactured in particular ways to limit the environmental impacts.
And similarly, contractors have become much more familiar with how to track everything. There's a lot of record keeping, especially like with site waste and things like that, where you have to keep track of actually weigh the trash and the recycling, things like that. 10 years ago, as Chad was saying, a lot of the contractors would kind of look at you and say, what? And they had no idea how to throw a price at that when they were bidding jobs.
Right.
And so LEED at that time was very expensive because contractors were not familiar with how to do that. And now it's become so commonplace over the last decade that now, you know, it's almost where it's just part of what they do. They're used to it. You know, all of the logging and the keeping track of all the processes, and they have to go out on site and take photos. For example, like if you bring drywall into a job, you have to show that it's been covered and kept out of the rain and stuff like that. You know, so as not to promote mold growth, for example. So they're used to just going out there with their, you know, their phone or the digital camera, whatever, snapping pictures every day, showing that there's filters on all of the air conditioning ducts and all that, so that it's all being kept clean. Right, those things were not standard practice a decade, 15 years ago, and now they are.
And I always think of LEED as applying to commercial structures, but that's not the case, is it, Pete? I mean,
it
covers residential as well.
Right, and I believe Cincinnati's north side here is a great example. They had a big push in residential LEED neighborhoods in that area, and it's becoming much more commonplace.
Right. One of the really amazing things about Cincinnati is it has one of the most, if not the most, aggressive tax abatement policy in the country. So if you have a new construction or major renovation that becomes LEED certified, you can get your property taxes abated for up to 15 years. We've seen a lot of LEED construction in the city of Cincinnati because of that, and certainly the homes have taken advantage of that property tax abatement.
What about solar technology and window technology, since so many buildings today like lots of glass to create that open, inviting feel and to get more light into the building? How big a part is that playing?
Well, when you look at LEED does have some credits available for renewable technologies, renewable energy. It doesn't say how you need to acquire that. In our area, solar is king for renewable, not so much wind. But you know, certainly from a LEED perspective, any renewable source would be welcomed. There are some programs like with the Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance with Solarity of Cincinnati, and so you can go online and you can actually get an aerial of your home and understand what the renewable capabilities are for that. And then also with the MLS, you can start to now see a solar rating number. What's the potential for that particular building as you're going to, you know, if you're thinking about buying it, what's its solar rating?
You can see that on the real estate listings.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So we're seeing a pretty major uplift there, which is pretty nice.
Pete, what about heating and air? Do LEED buildings use more geothermal and other methods?
Geothermal is definitely a big one in terms of sustainability, for sure. And it's growing in this region. There are, you know, Europe for years has been ahead of America in general in terms of sustainability, and that was born out of the fact that their utility rates are so much higher than America. And America, in general, the utility rates, most of middle America, I'd say the coasts are more expensive, but central portions of America, their utility rates were so low that for a long time nobody really bothered to think about saving energy on that sort of thing. But now some of those technologies from Europe are starting to come over to America, and they're becoming much more prevalent, especially with the LEED ratings and the tax abatements that Chad was speaking of. Schools, for example, are big, big proponent of those systems, and they're saving a lot of energy, a lot of money. Geothermal is one of the big ones. There's some other technologies, chilled beam, where you have basically a water radiator in your ceiling, so to speak, that's either producing
so
cold air.
It can be cool in the summer and hot in the winter.
It can.
Okay.
The heat tends to rise, so generally those don't work as well for heating, though you can. There are ways around that. But with the cool, you know, the heat, hot air rises, goes up, hits this cold radiator basically in the ceiling and falls back down on you. You have to be careful there about humidity levels. That's the trick to designing those systems. But generally, water transmits energy much more efficiently than air does, and in a much smaller space. So you can run some pipes out into the space rather than these big air ducts, and you know, do a good job. Now, your building envelope has to be really tight. The windows and the walls have to be sealed up pretty well to keep that humidity out. We're, unfortunately, Cincinnati's right on kind of the edge of humidity from the, you know, if you look at humidity charts.
Just lived through
charts.
A summer around here.
Exactly. Yeah. And people think we're kind of in the middle of the country. But if you look at charts of humidity in America, we're not far off from Alabama, really, at times. In terms of humidity. And so that is the big thing on the HVAC side, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. That's what we kind of have to fight against in terms of efficient air conditioning. That and providing outside air, breathe for air quality. Those are code required things. And LEED has taken that all into account. Air quality is dictated, as Chad was saying earlier, there are a lot of kind of third-party regulations that LEED has adopted. And on the engineering side, on the HVAC side, a lot of those are from ASHRAE, the American Society for Refrigeration, Air Conditioning, Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers.
But it's fair to say LEED has a lot of different elements to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and joining us to discuss green architecture and LEED certified facilities are Pedco E&A Services Senior Mechanical Engineer Pete Rashi and Chad Edwards, Principal with Immersion Design. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Chad, what are the features of the new District 3 Police Headquarters that make it LEED certified, and what's it mean that it's net zero, too?
Sure. So I'll take the second one first. Net zero energy means that you produce as much energy on site as you will consume throughout the whole year. So it does not mean that you're off the grid. It does not mean that you only consume what you're using at that particular moment. What that means for the police station is that in the summertime with the solar panels, we can make a deposit to Duke's grid and actually produce more energy than the station uses during the summer. And then in the winter, we make a withdrawal. And so if you track it for a full year, your consumption should equal your production. What we found out with the police station is actually it's more efficient than we thought. So I forget the exact number, but I think it's somewhere around a 20% betterment. So the police station is actually net positive, which is pretty cool.
That is. And is most of that coming through the solar panels? Is that what's doing?
Yes, that? Yes. And so when you look at the different technologies, when you strive for LEED Platinum, every point is in the conversation because you can't really afford to miss out on very much. With our other clients, if silver or gold is a target, it's pretty easy to kind of shape the credits to fit the needs and the design of the project. Whereas when you go for platinum, you'll be having conversations around some things that at first you might not think is really all that important, but they all begin to start to play together. And what was fortunate about this project is that all the points that we did go after, all the credits that we went after, actually were in support of the final goals. So there wasn't adding something just to get a point. It was actually something that had value. So for instance, in the site selection category, the site placement, just where the building was located, was important in terms of walkability to stores, close proximity to a dense residential neighborhood, access to bus transit. There's even, we have bicycle racks there, which sometimes some folks can put bike racks when they're not really needed or expected to be used. But in this particular case, there's a trail that links two different recreation centers that go right past the police station. And we knew that this was in the city's plan through Plan Cincinnati. And so we prepared for that. And if you go by there today, they just completed that first leg of the trail, which is pretty cool to see. Then you can get into water efficiency, trying to beat code by a certain amount. And with the officers' locker rooms, with showers and toilets and urinals and faucets, you can get that credit pretty easily. Then we get to the energy sector, and that's where this kind of goes off the charts. We use 26, I think, different heat pumps scattered throughout the building, which is around 39,000 square feet. And so that's individual zones. So as the sun goes across the sky and people use the building at different times of the day, those 26 different zones or different departments can heat and cool based on what that locale needs in the building. So you're not overheating one area.
You're not heating the whole place at the same temperature. Correct. Or cooling the whole place at the same temperature.
Correct. Okay. So you're able to spread that energy out to where it's needed. And that just makes it a lot more efficient. We do have 40 geo wells. Geo exchange, most people call it geothermal. And there might be a couple of people laughing right now, but So geothermal means that you're tapping 2 or 3 miles into the earth to tap into the heat source of the earth, whereas geoexchange means you're just going, you know, 350, 400 feet and using the earth as a heat sink. So if you imagine being in your basement, it's around 55 degrees in the summer, 55 degrees in the winter. So that's kind of the base point that we're able to use with geo. We also have a pretty significant thermal envelope, and so that's the insulation on the walls and on the roof, and it's a really tight building. So once you get it up to a certain temperature, it stays there. So it's basically a thermos, a really large thermos.
And how's the work environment for the officers?
They love it. We give tours there on a fairly regular basis. We were just there yesterday giving a tour to the AIA National Conference on Architecture for Justice. And so national architects came and toured that facility. And whenever we talk to the officers during these tours, they just they talk about what a wonderful place it is to be. Now, we had a pretty low hurdle to jump over because their old station was not up to snuff.
Okay.
But you know, the daylight that we have coming in, the views, every officer has a view outside, you know, it's just a really pleasant place to be.
Pete, does a project that focuses on LEED certification, is it inherently more or less expensive than the same project if you do it with a traditional building method?
Historically, it had been much more expensive. It is coming now to the point where there are examples out there of buildings that were done for zero extra cost. Metrics to test all of that are all, of course, are difficult. But I would say that we're definitely narrowing in on it not being much more of an ad, so to speak. And again, a lot of that goes back to what we were speaking of earlier about just familiarity with. I mean, Chad was just speaking about the water efficient, fixtures at the police station. You can go, like he said earlier, you can go to the big box store down the street and find a water efficient faucet. And 10, 15 years ago, you couldn't. Mm-hmm. So everything across the board in terms of being sustainable, all the stuff you put into the building is just a lot easier to get. So the costs are coming down on that. It's a lot more common. LED lighting is, you know, clearly become a lot more affordable in the last 5 to 10 years. The costs are getting a lot closer to not being that much of an ad over a standard building.
And if you think about this at the very beginning and you have everything on the table and there's no egos involved, so architects allow the engineers to play architects and engineers allow the architects to play engineers.
I'd love to do that.
Then you can really begin to actually see cost savings and get a and one prime example is the
plus
District 3.
Do your energy off saving, do your energy savings offset some of the building costs?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm talking up front, first cost.
Yeah.
So the really great story about the District 3 police station is that we were able to get them to LEED Platinum for the same cost as our competitors LEED Silver. And it was a design build competition. So we saw the numbers. We gave them a base level LEED Silver design, and then we added betterments to get them to LEED Platinum. And so this can be done. It can be done at cost for the same budget. And we've proven it, and others across the country have proven it too. It's just ramping up the entire industry to get there.
So overall, how would you say Cincinnati is doing in terms of green architecture and LEED standard buildings, and how are we doing? Mm-hmm.
We're doing well. When you look at different categories, we excel in some categories and we are sort of treading water in others. The one that really stands out is the LEED for schools. So several years ago, the local chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council pushed significantly to get one of CPS's schools LEED Silver. And they were successful in that and helped educate CPS. And then CPS took ownership and really thought that there was a lot of value there. So they made a mandate that all of their buildings would be LEED Silver minimum. That got to the state, and then the state eventually said, okay, anything that is funded by the OFCC will now be LEED Silver minimum. And just a few years ago, we were the number one state in the country for LEED for schools. And in fact, we doubled the second place finisher, which was California. So to say that we have, you know, twice as many LEED schools as California, that's pretty cool. We mentioned the LEED tax abatement and the homes. I don't have a statistic based on that, but the housing market, the housing development that's going on, even if you just go to MLS and you're doing some house shopping, you can see all these homes that have the tax abatement applied to it. So you know that they're taking advantage of that.
Pete, would you say this is growing and will continue to grow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Chad was talking about Cincinnati Public Schools also at the university level, UC, mm-hmm. is doing all of their buildings LEED. We're in the design process and construction process for their new school of business at UC, and that's going to be LEED as well, the target of gold. Mm-hmm. So, all around, there's a
yeah. So the
big push.
UC has six right now. The College of Business will be their seventh. The city of Cincinnati, as they put out requests for qualifications for their new buildings, they're having mandates of either LEED Silver or LEED Gold. So we're seeing the large organizations, we're seeing the folks that do that do building quite a bit, that they've understood the value of LEED and they've been doing it for over a decade. The federal government certainly has LEED Silver mandates in the various branches, Department of Defense, NASA, Department of Energy, GSA. So it's relatively commonplace in the built environment now.
And Chad and Pete, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pedco E&A Services Senior Mechanical Engineer Pete Rashi and Chad Edwards, Principal with Immersion Design. Local filmmaker Lori Quinlivan produced a documentary on the design and construction of the new Cincinnati Police District 3 headquarters. The film, Cincinnati Leads the Nation, is scheduled to air on CET November 9th at 9 p.m. You can see a short trailer for the documentary at wvxu.org.